You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
It's outrageous. When Kamala Harris was the Attorney General of the state of California, if you were an animal rights activist, you could do undercover video to expose how animals were being treated. And Kamala Harris praised those activists and used that video for her agenda as Attorney General. But if you were an undercover journalist investigating Planned Parenthood and investigating the abortion industry trafficking baby body parts, then Kamala Harris wanted to silence you, wanted to intimidate you, and wanted to make sure that your message was punished and didn't get out there to the public.
November the 24th, 2020. The words of David DeLeiden, undercover journalist, did an extensive work on showing Planned Parenthood deeply involved in selling body parts. And for that, California prosecutor at the time, Kamala Harris, went after him, trying to issue charges, things of that nature. Planned Parenthood filed suit saying you misrepresent yourself. Oh, yeah, so if I come in and tell you what I'm here to expose, you're going to help me out? Right. But the hypocrisy of Kamala Harris reflected all across the progressive left. This should be a warning shot across the bow, if you haven't seen one before now, of what could be happening regarding abortion and abortion cases going forward with a Biden-Harris administration, or strictly a Harris administration. There are court rulings coming out of Texas, Louisiana, and Tennessee that are making some changes and challenges to current abortion laws. They're going to be appealed. They're going to go higher up, and obviously probably one or more will end up with U.S. Supreme Court. Some of it involves making sure not any federal dollars go to Planned Parenthood. No federal dollars can be spent on an actual abortion, but they can get federal help for utilities, leasing space, building taxes, employees, but not the actual performance of the abortion. But if you don't have to pay all the others, you've got plenty of money to carry out the abortions. We're going to get into that in much more detail, because I think that's going to be a key issue over the next 4 years. It has been for some time, ever since going into Roe v. Wade and since, but it's going to escalate with this administration that apparently is going to be coming in. Now, more immediate, we do have Trump still challenging election results, but he's also said he's given the directions to the General Services Administrator to begin the steps for a transition of power to former Vice President Joe Biden. The president did write on Twitter, "Our case strongly continues. We will keep up the good fight. I believe we will prevail." And he noted that the GS administrator, Emily Murphy, has been, quote, harassed, threatened, and abused for resisting the beginning of the transition process until his campaign had concluded all legal challenges. So he said, go ahead, move forward. That means the government will make available $6.3 million for Biden to begin his transition to power. Of course, Biden and Harris celebrated. And today, Democrat Joe Biden was certified as winner of the presidential election in Pennsylvania after 3 weeks of vote counting and additional challenges by President Trump. I'm not sure they're actually done with the Pennsylvania challenges. And then we also have the situation, a more immediate still, the Georgia Senate election. Senator Lindsey Graham says, keep this in mind. If Biden-Harris have the White House, and the Democrats may or may not be under Pelosi, hold the House, and Republicans do not win at least one of those seats in Georgia, you're going to look at a trifecta from hell. He will explain. And Chris Bedford joining us. Christopher Bedford with The Federalist, talking about election fraud problems are not just a conspiracy theory and the danger in thinking that it's all fiction. Oh, President Trump showed up today, an impromptu appearance in the White House briefing room. Reporters scrambling. Oh, my God, he's coming in. He's going to concede. He's going to say something. And they rushed in trying to get what they could. He was there less than a minute to say, how about that stock market hitting 30,000, the highest in history? We've never broken 30,000, despite everything that's been taking place with the pandemic. I want to congratulate everyone who's helped us get there. And then he walked out. Ha! Enjoy your turkey. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now we take Georgia, then we change America.
When the radicals say change America, this is what they mean. Opening the border, illegal immigrants voting, total Democrat control.
But the thing of it is, the blue wave is comprised of those who are documented and undocumented.
Yes!
Save Georgia. Save America. Go vote, because if you don't, illegal immigrants will.
That is part of a GOP ad running in Georgia regarding the Georgia Senate races. Two U.S. senators from Georgia, both Republican, are up for a re-election at the same time. Senators Loeffler and Kelly. Perdue. And they have Democrat challengers in this runoff election for each of them. I've been through this before, but I cannot stress it enough. If Biden-Harris is going to occupy the White House, which looks more and more like it's going to happen, despite the legal challenges, and if the Democrats continue to hold the House, which they have now, they lost a lot of seats, but they still have control of the House. Currently, the Republicans hold the U.S. Senate. 50 Republicans, or at least Republican in name, I'm speaking about Romney, Collins, and a couple others that might waffle here and there. And then the Democrats have 48. If both of these seats are lost to the Democrats, it would be a 50-50 Senate. Any debate on a bill for a vote that becomes a tie, the Vice President of the United States will cast the deciding vote. That would be Kamala Harris. That's why it's so crucial. It is crucial, and Lindsey Graham says the stakes for these runoff elections for January 5 are just too important, not just for Georgia, but for our nation.
If we lose these two Senate seats in Georgia, Pelosi will run the House, Schumer run the Senate, and if the president falls short and Biden gets to be president, you're going to have Pelosi, Schumer, and Biden. That's a trifecta from hell for big government. It's a nightmare for conservatism. It's the end of checks and balances.
The ends of checks and balances. If one party controls both houses and the White House, there is little reason to hold back on anything they want to do. There would be some infighting among their members on the left. We've already seen some of that. How far that will go, we don't know. But who will win out? America or progressives who want to change America? As Chuck Schumer said in that ad, I'm going to let you hear it again. It begins with Chuck Schumer as he's appearing and stating, we win Georgia and then we change America. That's their whole idea. Because then they would have control of both houses and the White House. And that's why, again, this ad plays right to the heart of the issue that if they hold all three positions, the White House, House, and Senate, you won't recognize this country in a brief period.
Now we take Georgia, then we change America.
When the radicals say change America, this is what they mean. Opening the border, illegal immigrants voting, total Democrat control.
But the thing of it is, the blue wave is comprised of those who are documented and undocumented.
Yes!
Save Georgia. Save America. Go vote, because if you don't, illegal immigrants will.
If you don't vote, illegals will. The voice you heard saying the blue wave involves both legals and illegals was Stacey Abrams, the woman who ran for governor of Georgia and lost and still insists, no, I really won. And it is true. The progressive left has made it clear we don't really need no stinking border. Biden is not indicating he's going to tear down the wall that exists. And whether or not he stops construction moving forward and at what penalty for that would have to be paid if the project is stopped, I don't know all the numbers. But that's not really their makeup. They want to basically allow porous border. We would have no border. No border. Do you know any country anywhere else in the world that just says, our border is not to be recognized. You can come and go freely. Well, now, you can do that in parts of Europe. They're close enough together. You don't have to go through passport check going in and out. But that's changing rapidly because more and more cases are surfacing that jihadists are using that to get into various countries. And the battle for Georgia right now, here's how it's changing on the face of what you see the Democrats are doing. I'm looking at a piece written by James Arkin and Andrew DeSerdio and Maya King for the Politico.com. And points out with the Senate majority hanging in the balance and coronavirus cases spiking, Georgia Democrats have resurrected a hallmark of their pre-pandemic campaigning, knocking on voters' doors. Goes on to point out they did halt that practice earlier this year, but now they're back to in-person canvassing in the Peach State, trying to make sure they get the turnout they need for January 5. Efforts being coordinated between two Democrat campaigns that follow strict health guidelines in consultation with a epidemiologist. And so they're going back to door-to-door canvassing. They have been basically trying to take the same approach that Biden was while he was running before the election. They don't want to go out and mix with the crowds. They're just not going to do it. But in this case, they decide we've got to do it. It is critical. They say, and I'm quoting a spokesman for one of the Democrats, John Ossoff, who's running, the campaigns would pivot and knock on doors over the next 6 weeks because the stakes of turning out voters, quote, could not be higher. And the mail-in ballots have already exceeded 700,000 requests, we're told. And we've been told Democrats are making it clear, move to Georgia, get a residency established so you can vote in this January 5 election. And I think they have until December 5 or 7 to be a Georgia citizen. Andrew Yang, former presidential candidate for the Democrat Party, one of those many running against Biden and Harris at that time, he's already said, I'm moving. My wife and I are moving. We're setting up home in Georgia. You simply go. You maybe pay a rent. You get a utility bill. You're showing you're there. You may or may not get your driver's license changed before the vote. But if you establish residency, you'll get a chance to vote. And going across state lines just to vote in another state's election is illegal. But, of course, you got to prove it. And right now, I don't think they're that concerned about legality. The five-member Georgia State Election Board, I pointed out to you yesterday, and it is chaired by the Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. They voted to extend the use of the 24/7 monitored drop boxes for use through the runoffs. The use of those boxes was set to expire in late December. The deadline to register to vote for the runoff elections is December 7. I thought it was one of those days. Early in-person voting in those contests will begin December 14. But they're going to allow these absentee ballot boxes to be placed across the state for votes to be dropped in now through, well, let me read it to you again. It was originally going to expire in late December. Now they're going to allow it through the voting day of January 5, it appears. That's going to be another effort to do what they can to stuff boxes, add votes, bring folks in from out of town, out of the state, get registered. They got time to do it. While we're being told you should lock down for Thanksgiving, don't go anywhere. Stay in just your own little bubble. Don't even have your in-laws over. Don't have your mother over. Don't have your sister or your brother. If they don't live in your house, keep away from them. But in Georgia, they're going to be going door to door, knocking on doors, trying to get votes, and they're going to also invite hordes of Democrats to cross the Georgia state line so they'll be in position to vote in this election coming up January 5. And they've got until December 7 to register to vote. That's what they're going to be doing over this Thanksgiving holiday in Georgia. And Lindsey Graham, who had a tough runoff election that he survived in his state of South Carolina, is acknowledging right now he'd have to admit that Republicans might be losing. Please listen.
To my friends in Georgia, the country depends on you. I know you won't let us down, but I'm worried. The momentum seems to be with the Democrats right now. The money is pouring in. You cannot turn your television on in South Carolina without seeing an Ossoff commercial broadcast to Georgia. Greenville, Spartanburg, and Nashville markets can't have that many counties in Georgia covered, but they're just flooding the zone.
Flooding the zone with money and voters coming in so they can register. And I wonder how many of those, even in the Democrat Party, really, really understand some of the candidates that they're voting for. One of them being John Ossoff. He is endorsed, and of course he's up against David Perdue in that runoff election. He is endorsed by that Mike Bloomberg-funded gun group, Every Town for Gun Safety. He gave his endorsement of Ossoff September 15th, reannounced it once the runoff dates were set. And that is the whole idea of what he will be doing. And they're getting support from Moms Demands, stating, we're ready to send David Perdue packing because instead of working with Georgia's, he's prioritized special interests like gun lobby. So here's a guy that wants to institute red flag laws, universal background checks for gun purchases, more restrictions on gun shows, because he knows it plays well at the Democrat Party. And then the other Democrat candidate in Georgia. I wonder how many really know his history, or they're just voting because he's a Democrat. We're talking about Raphael Warnock. He has long opposed cash bail. That's, of course, where you had to put money up as essential collateral to ensure you're going to come back for a court date. The Democrat Party did not put that policy in its platform until 2020, but he's long been a favor of it. So opposition to cash bail, now a mainstream position in the Democrat Party, and Joe Biden supported it. And Warnock is going to do the same thing. No, you're not going to have to post bail to make sure you come back. We trust you. We trust you to come back. Some call it a get-out-of-jail-free card. Senator Graham says, I have something else I want to say. I surely hope I'm not going to ruin your Thanksgiving, but you're going to want to hear what he has to say when we continue.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I hope I don't ruin your Thanksgiving. If Democrats take over the Senate and we lose both Georgia seats, Bernie Sanders will be chairman of the Budget Committee in the United States Senate. An avowed socialist would be writing the nation's budget in the Senate. If we keep control of the Senate by winning both seats in Georgia, I'm going to be the budget chairman. You know what? I may not be your cup of tea out there, but let me tell you this, I'm a hell of a lot better than Bernie Sanders when it comes to your money.
Yeah, there you have it. Senator Graham said, I might not be your cup of tea, but do you want to trust your money to Bernie Sanders, who wants to go full socialist, or me, that will try to protect private enterprise and your home and everything else that you value? Politico is out with a new survey. It was taken from November 10th through the 19th, 1,500 voters. And here's what it found. No surprise, 79% of Trump voters believe the election was stolen. 79%. The challenges continue. 79% believe it was stolen. In other words, they don't believe it's legitimate. This trust, this level of distrust in election results, unprecedented. When asked, do you accept the result? 97% of Biden voters say we accept. 38% of the Trump voters say we accept. May not like it, but accept. And if it goes that way, you're just going to have to accept it. That's just the way it is. Now, you can cry out, life's not fair. Well, if you're an adult old enough to be voting, you know life's not always fair anyway. And the challenges, just because they're being thrown aside, overturned, pushed back, can't get enough in, does not mean they're not valid at some point. But, of course, again, you have to accept the decision. You might still believe that O.J. Simpson is guilty of murder. Court ruled he wasn't. So your belief is just that. It doesn't coincide with the fact he was found innocent. 83% of Trump voters believe the media is the enemy of the people. 83%. 72% of Biden voters believe the media plays an important role in our democracy. I would agree that the media plays an important role, but I don't know if it's always pushing for democracy, although it's allowed to under our First Amendment right. 81% of Republicans. This is very interesting. 81% of Republicans say they have less respect for Democrats than they did 4 years ago. 4 years. In 4 years, 81% say we have less respect. And Democrats? 77% of Democrats feel the same. And the way it's written here, that means that they feel the same, less respect for Democrats, or they mean less respect for Republicans. I can't tell by this number, the way it's written out in this report. But I do point out that 59% of the Democrats want to end the Electoral College and go strictly the popular vote. There are a lot of stories and concerns among many that if you keep saying the election was a fraud, it wasn't run right, you should just accept it and move on. As if for the last 4 years, the Democrats were all about doing that, coming together and singing Kumbaya. No, they were not. But do we actually have election fraud, or is it a conspiracy? Christopher Bedford, senior editor at The Federalist, will be joining us when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Glad to welcome back aboard. We've had him on several times before. Christopher Bedford, senior editor with The Federalist. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I wanted you back because I looked at a title you wrote on a piece that came out a couple of days ago, and we're just now getting a chance to get you on at this point, that the election fraud problems are a threat to our country, too important to be left to conspiracy theorists. Now, before we go into your piece, and I'm looking at another piece by one of your colleagues, Jordan Harris, dealing with the public perception of votes and so forth. I was sharing with the audience before you joined us a new Politico poll that says 79% of Trump voters, 79% believe the election was stolen. And yet they're out there saying that. Everybody looks at them all, yeah, and you believe in flying saucers and everything. What's the difference between their concern, election fraud, and conspiracy theorist?
The main difference is that there are some real, serious, deep problems in Americans' elections, the kind that undermine our faith in democracy, and honestly ought to. We saw it firsthand in Philadelphia, and some of our reporters saw it in Detroit as well as in Atlanta, the way these machines work. Now, there's a difference between the boring reality of a lot of this voter fraud and some of the more interesting and far-flung conspiracy theories. One conspiracy that I referred to in the piece was the allegation that the Republican governor of Georgia and his secretary of state had been bribed by a computer company to cover up for voter fraud. That was given without any supporting evidence. If it is true, it's a pretty serious crime and would require some level of evidence given for that major of an accusation. But the reality of voter fraud in Philadelphia and other states is that other cities is that these are tens of thousands or more votes coming in that are not properly stamped, do not have the proper signatures, have been submitted late, should never have been legally counted. They're mixed into the voter selection. They're actually mixed in with the files. They call these places where they count the votes the blending room, vote blending room. And then once they're in there, it's almost impossible to remove them without redoing the election. You need to fight this battle beforehand, and it's very difficult to fight.
That's a key point. That's a key point. I want to break down some of what you said. Now, when you're talking about the allegations that came out that the Georgia governor and the Secretary of State were kind of making money on the Dominion scam, committing to the Dominion voting systems, that basically came from Sidney Powell, who had been presenting herself along with Jenna Ellis and Rudy Giuliani as part of the Trump team to go attack all these places. And then suddenly Giuliani says she is not part of our group. And she still says, I have evidence and we're going to pursue it on another level. That's the kind of thing that immediately have a lot of people say, and even folks who want to see Trump win say, you've mixed a lie in with some facts and now you destroyed it, or what? How do you see them seeing it?
I see it that way as well, and this is an election that I think very well might have been stolen from the president, although I don't see a lot of paths to undoing that or changing that at this point without making sure that future elections and maybe Trump's return as to re-election or to election in 2024 are not compromised by these things.
I heard you slip that in there, Trump's re-election in 2024. I heard that. Go ahead.
When Sidney Powell makes allegations like that, It undermines the ability of the president to put this forward. It's handing over ammunition to organizations like the New York Times, Washington Post, that want to tell conservatives and Republicans and administration officials that there is no such thing as voter fraud. We know there is, and it might have even made a huge difference here.
Giuliani has also just recently said, according to CNN quoting him, I might have exaggerated on some of the claims of fraud. Just that admission, and I don't know to what extent he actually is admitting it or how much it's blown out of proportion, but just those words coming out, I might have exaggerated, again, raises big questions.
Yeah, they needed to be very careful, and the lawyers who have been leading this are not very careful lawyers. They're the kind that are absolutely worthwhile to listen to, intelligent people. Mayor Giuliani is an American hero. You would take their counsel privately, but they're not as careful as they ought to be in the courtroom. And with something as serious as this, they've really been bungling the case. And I was really disappointed to see, after Powell's kind of weekend of accusations without evidence, that as opposed to saying no and refocusing these efforts, they just pretended that she was never part of the team at all, which is laughable. She was part of the team earlier this week. She was on the stage with the team. The president's referred to her as part of the team. It does not bode well for the future of this effort, and it's too important to be clowned up.
You're listening to Christopher Bedford, senior editor with The Federalist, and one of the things you mentioned, the signature issues, that's very key. I mean, they were pointing that out in Georgia the other day. Just recounting the ballots doesn't mean anything if you're not verifying the ballots while you're recounting, and part of it had to do with the signatures, and the Democrats are acting like, well, that's fine, you know, we don't need to do that. And I pointed out to the audience yesterday, Barack Obama in 96, when he was running his first political campaign, he began to challenge in trying to unseat a state senator at the time, tried to challenge petitions because his signatures did not match up with what they had on file, and he got all four Democrat primary rivals forced off the ballot for him. So he knows the value of that.
And it is a constant thing with these kind of machines. It's just part of business. It's even though some criminals may be actually voting from prison, the actual folks who are committing a lot of this voter fraud, they're not dressed up in the black and white pinstripes of a burglar with a mask on. They're just going along with what everyone else is doing. Very common. When you see these things, these wild stories, which are always interesting, and a lot of them are true, the people who are voting who are dead, it's not because they're going around checking graves and sending that person's vote in. It's because a lot of these voter rolls are being filled out for people who never came in and never cast their vote. And they're accidentally picking up folks who are dead that can be easily proven to have never voted. But even more so, talking to people in Philadelphia, they have the difficulty of going in there sometimes and finding out they've already voted, and they have to go through a whole process to prove that they haven't. With those cases, you'll see a signature mismatch, and there are whole counties in Georgia that didn't exclude a single mail-in ballot. That's just too hard to believe.
That is hard to believe. And also, I want to quickly, I've got a couple things I want to cover with you, but also quickly, one of your colleagues at The Federalist, Jordan Davis, she wrote a piece titled, basically on a poll that showed that a Media Research Center poll, I think it was, that 1 in 6 Biden voters would have changed their vote if they had known about scandals that got suppressed by the media. They did not know. They went to these swing states and interviewing Biden supporters, and in there they did not know about the scandals about Hunter Biden. They didn't know about some of the other allegations about Biden. And they say, if we'd known it, 1 in 6 of us would have changed our vote.
The whole point of voting for Joe Biden for a lot of people was an idea that there would be some kind of return to decency and there would be no more criminal behavior around him, that there have been constant allegations against President Trump, mainly because he's a Republican president. The reason why there's been no allegations against Biden that have reached so many Americans is because it hasn't been covered at all. After Donald Trump's second debate with Joe Biden, when he was pushing that narrative and talking about some of this corruption, just anecdotally, I heard from parents and friends' parents and friends of friends that they had never heard that. They would watch the morning shows and the networks. They were completely unaware of it, and they were changing their vote after tuning in.
And a lot of that had to do with social media, big tech, Facebook, Google, Twitter, just shutting down the platform so it couldn't spread beyond.
Yeah, and it was very sad to see that, because a few years ago, people might have guessed that social media would be a pathway around the monopoly of the media. But it turns out they're just another weapon in censorship's toolbox.
Yeah, good point. Now, I'm looking again back to your article. And, folks, again, you're listening to Christopher Bedford, senior editor at The Federalist. And you point out something I think I've been kind of watching and waiting to see how it's going to be called out. And you called it out perfectly. When you're talking about these legal challenges and so forth, and they're legit legal challenges, some may have veracity in the end, or some may not, or they may still not be able to prove it. But you point out the Trump campaign legal team needs to stop the TV and Twitter theater, period. And you go on to say pretending Powell was never part of it doesn't cut it. But you're right. The TV and Twitter theater, when they come out and make their statements, they say, well, that's just an opening statement. We're not going to present all our facts here. And I understand that. But we're being played by that side as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, and they've got a real Trump's campaign is a real difficulty here, because a lot of these lawyers, and I've heard this throughout the time, Rudy Giuliani especially, and also Jenna Ellis, they have a direct line to the president. They can pick up the phone and text him or call him and circumvent a lot of different levels of authority because they're personal friends or confidants of the president, and that's fine. But for a serious law firm to send their people in there, their top people, and try to do this legal fight when there are lawyers who honestly are very good at television, and some also great in the courtroom, but very good at television, going right to the president to undermine them, law firms won't take that client. They won't take the campaign if that's what they think is going to happen, and they're going to be undermined by their own client.
All right.
It's basic, and he's having a difficulty retaining talent because of it.
All right. Christopher Bedford, I want to thank you very much for your time, sir. We'll do it again.
Thank you.
Wishing you a happy Thanksgiving for you and your family, sir.
You too.
All right. Christopher Bedford. We're going to take a break. When we come back, James Carville says Trump should still be under attack, legal attack, criminal attack. James Carville explaining when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA. I'm here for the beer and the ball busting fans. Gonna get a little crazy just because I can. You know I'm here for the party. And I ain't leaving till before.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Hey, James, where do you come down on the natural temptation to launch a bunch of investigations?
Well, that's the question. Is first of all, you can't stop the Manhattan DA. You can't stop the New York Attorney General. You can't stop the Southern District of New York. Bill Barr couldn't stop the Southern District of New York from indicting Steve Bannon. So just the momentum that is out there with these investigations now, I don't think they can stop. President-elect Biden has indicated some reluctance about this, but he said he'd give the Justice Department Attorney General, as has been done prior to this administration, a pretty free hand. So I don't know politically the outcome of this, but I think this train is leaving the station, and I think that these investigations are vigorous and serious, and I think that Trump knows that, and I don't think they can be stopped, Brian. I really don't.
That's James Carville, Louisiana, Bill Clinton, 92 presidential campaign director. On MSNBC with Brian Williams and Carville saying, the train can't stop. It's pulling out of the station and buying into the fact that, yeah, let's unleash the hounds on Trump and anything and everything. Do you remember when Trump was holding his campaign rallies up against Hillary and the crowds would sometimes start shouting out, lock her up, lock her up, and he gloated in that, and he accepted it, and so on. But the night the election, when she had called and conceded, the first thing he said, let's put all that aside. Let's try to go forward. And later he was asked about, you're going to go after Hillary? And much to the disappointment of many Republicans and those who supported him, I should say, he said, let's just kind of move on. Let's try to move on. But then the attacks continued to accelerate against him over fiction, Russian collusion, hacking, things of that nature. And finally he began to say, all right, let's start taking a look. And I still hope before he leaves office, all of that information is made public. I don't hold back a single thread. Put it all out there. If you're going to look at investigations, let me give you a quick rundown of some things Biden's going to have to be facing. He named Jake Sullivan as his national security advisor. Jake Sullivan, who falsely accused former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn of collusion with the Russian government, now taking over that same spot. And Sullivan was one of at least a dozen individuals, according to Fox News and other sources, who had private email addresses on Clinton's server. So he was deeply into the Hillary Clinton email scandal. And Biden tapped in to be the National Security Advisor? Riddle me that. Is that a good idea? All right, how about this one? Biden's pick for Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, facing criticism during the Obama administration from an Inspector General report that he had intervened in helping foreign investors in the EB-5 visa program, all connected to top Democrats. High-profile Democrats asked him to intervene outside the normal process to help them out, and he did. In one case, apparently pressured staff to expedite the review of a Las Vegas hotel casino investment at the request of then-Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. And he did it. And he did get called before a House Homeland Security Committee in 2015, asked about it, and he said, I bear responsibility. My responsibility, I acknowledge it. I exercised undue influence. But that was it. That was it. Now he's going to be heading up Homeland Security, who's already sold out numerous times, apparently. And the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, long-standing relationship with President Joe Biden, going back to their days in the Obama administration. Information coming out now that Hunter Biden, had scheduled meetings with Blinken while he was on the board of Ukrainian energy firm Burisma, and Blinken was Deputy Secretary of State. Hunter Biden, in a May 2015 email to Blinken, said, have a few minutes next week to grab a cup of coffee. I know you're impossibly busy, but would like to get your advice on a couple of things. Blinken's reply, absolutely. Well, hell yes. The son of the vice president sent me a message, wants to have a cup of coffee. I will clear my schedule for that immediately. So we've got three names right there that have so many ties to Hillary and Obama and possible corruption. Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor selection right now, that was on Hillary Clinton's private email source address listing. Alejandro Mayorkas to be the Homeland Security Secretary,
helping out influential Democrats get some visas pushed through, not going through the normal process. And the new Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, was serving as Deputy Secretary of State in the Obama-Biden administration, gets a request from Hunter Biden, who's then with Burisma. I'd like to have a few minutes of your time to grab a cup of coffee. You got time? Folks, come on. This is going to be a hell of a ride the next 4 years with these three in place, assuming they stay there. And, yeah, there may well be an effort to go after Trump on anything and everything. I fully expect that. They're going to turn the hounds loose. And I still insist, that he release every piece of evidence in any of these inquiries they've had so far. Make them all public. And do it now. Take a break when we come back. The battle over abortion is going to accelerate. And lies and more lies about COVID-19.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.